Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change. You know, several frequent listeners have heard me often quote my favorite leadership statement that kind of lends insight to my upbringing back in the 70s of hanging out at the Brick Guard in Indianapolis, skipping school, going to the racetrack, I must admit, and then going on to become a development engineer, touring tracks, traversing the U.S., working for Chevrolet and Corvettes and Camaros. And that famous line comes actually from Mario Andretti, and he says, if you think you're under control, you likely aren't driving fast enough. So I've adopted that, and so what a pleasure here on Memorial Day weekend to connect with a colleague who continues to have a career flourishing around racing, and that would be Alan Rudolph. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Thank you, Dr. Zara.
Well, and indeed, you're at the track today, right? You're up in Denver?
I am, yeah. I'm at a go-kart race in Denver, Colorado right now.
Go-kart. How many people will be competing today?
There's probably about 60 guys.
Okay.
In a variety of different classes, though.
That's great.
It's not a really big event. It's a little Colorado state race.
I love it, though. And what's your role there today, then?
Honestly, I'm playing driver, coach, junior guy.
I love it. Exactly.
Yeah, I help out the young guys trying to get better and use some of my experience for that.
Absolutely. Well, let me give a brief introduction to Alan. He's currently a career karter, as a matter of fact. He's currently general manager at the Bondurant Supercart School based in Phoenix. Alan is a multi-time national karting champion who started racing at age 9, and he moved up to the dirt ovals of the Midwest. He has racing credentials that actually span open-wheel formula cars and sports cars and test driving experience in Formula Ford 2000s, NASCAR, Formula Atlantic, and Grand Am. Alan is probably best known for his dominance in shifter karts and winning the King of the Streets title an unprecedented 5 times. And now in partnership with Bob Bondurant team for Bondurant School of Racing, which, by the way, just celebrated its 45th year in business, Alan continues to expand his driving passion into what I call the hardware, the software, and the peopleware of the supercart business. So a really fun thing. People don't understand, do they, Alan, how much people dynamics play out in the world of racing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, racing is it's a sport you cannot do alone.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a team to win. And you hear race car drivers, whoever wins the Indy 500 tomorrow,
yep,
the first person they're going to thank is their team, because without team, it doesn't happen.
And in fact, I often would, in days of yore, I'll say when I would give a speech, I'd talk about you really need to understand the connection of people to the product. And the best demonstration of that is to watch after the race how every member of the team has got at least one hand on the car as they're moving it out of the pits back into the garage. There's that visual connectivity, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. A lot of work goes well. I mean, it starts with the pre-prep, everyone, especially the big race teams today. Most people follow NASCAR and stuff. I mean, they have hundreds of employees at the places, mm-hmm, like Hendrick Motorsports and stuff. The guys back at the shop building all the cars, and it is a team effort like no other, for sure.
Isn't that true? And in fact, for those of us that had the pleasure then of leading organizations, we always used to chuckle when we'd realize, when that car comes in the pits, you're not going to stop and say, let's call a meeting and get out the storyboard, right? This is not about the meeting. In fact, if the driver has already queued you up more than likely over the radio saying there's something wrong in the left rear quarter panel, then you better be in motion to do things in a matter of seconds.
Oh, yeah. Things happen very, very fast. You got to be prepared for, pretty much anything, especially, in IndyCars, if there's a wreck or something happens, it's straight back to the garage and your day is done. But in NASCAR,
exactly,
they can fix stuff in the pit stops and get you right back out there.
So tell us a little bit about your career journey. I said there it was in age 9. Was it in go-karts like you are today up there in Denver?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
karting is kind of the little hidden secret in motorsports. The fact is that, pretty much every professional race car driver today started off in karting, and the smart ones, still do it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the biggest names in racing, from Michael Schumacher in Formula One to, you know, NASCAR's Jamie McMurray, and they all still drive karts because it really is the closest thing to a real race car. And, you know, everyone started out doing it. And so
I wanted you to explain a little bit more about that. When you say a real race car, meaning it really is man-machine interface as opposed to how technology is advanced in some of the higher-end cars. You know, it's like the difference between being a pilot and soaring versus being the astronaut sitting in the space shuttle, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a, believe it or not, you know, karting is very technical. There's a lot of technology that goes into those. And, you know, they don't have suspension to speak of like what you're traditionally used to. But they do have suspension in the flex of the chassis and different axles you can put in, wheels, and all the stuff that you constantly change really is changing the dynamics of the kart, which is basically changing the suspension. And so there's a lot that goes into this, you know, the karting thing. And, you know, technology it's evolved over the years, of course, you know, just like anything else. But I've been doing it for a long time now.
And, but wouldn't you say also people many times don't necessarily know to equate the race car drivers of also being yourself a finely tuned machine and an athlete? The top-notch training you've continued to do over these years, you can't slack off.
No, my gosh. Like, you know, there's the guys that race in Formula One, they're training in the gym and cycling sometimes 4 hours a day, 6 hours a day to stay in shape. You know, and some of the training, to be honest with you, is driving go-karts.
Because karts
are more physically demanding to drive than any other form of motorsports. You know, you have NASCAR guys come out and they jump in a go-kart and in 10 minutes they're winded and, you know, you'd be surprised, yet they can go 500 miles in a NASCAR. So the karting is very physically demanding, and, you know, I'm in the gym, you know, 4 or 5 days a week religiously, and you have to do that to stay in shape to drive these things.
In fact, I can recall from my days in General Motors, which is what brought me out to Arizona back in the 80s, was working part-time at the General Motors Proving Grounds, not far from your location now up in Phoenix, of course. And in the evening, after we've worked on cars all day long, what did we do? We went karting. And, you know, we used to take great joy of watching which one of the guys, because primarily it was me and the guys at that point, at that where the engineering field was evolving yet, to be more inclusive, I'd call it, is how many they were always gunning to see if they could beat out Mario Andretti's time because of coming to Phoenix, as you said, for the big races, but off to the side wanting to go karting.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, tell us about the Bondurant organization that you've had such a pleasure and you're a leader of now. I mean, many listeners may not know who Bob Bondurant is and even the story of him establishing the School of Racing.
Yeah, Bob Bondurant is, you know, for those who don't know, famous race car driver back in the 60s, really, 60s and early 70s, and started the school. Bob himself raced for Carroll Shelby and the Cobras.
You bet.
Back in the mid early 60s, and then Ford and Shelby had a mission. They wanted to win the World Manufacturers Championship, so they loaded up the Cobras and went over to Europe in 1964 and won a bunch of races and didn't win the championship that year. Some say it was rigged by Ferrari because they canceled the last race. But so they go on in 1965 and they won the World's Manufacturer Championship in a Cobra. And that was the first time an American driver and an American manufacturer had won the World Championship. And so today, it still hasn't been done again today. And it really springboard Bob's career into racing. He ended up racing for Ferrari in Formula One. His first Formula One race was at the U.S. Grand Prix that year for Ferrari, and then spent a few years racing for Formula One. And during that time, he trained James Garner and the others for the movie Grand Prix.
Exactly. So he's a Hollywood background man.
Exactly, and that's really where he got bit by the training bug, so to speak. He enjoyed training those guys, and so then he had this big horrific crash in 1967 in a Can-Am car, and the doctors said he'd never walk again. And he's like, what am I going to do now? I'm at the height of my racing career. And he thought, well, you know, I enjoyed teaching those guys how to drive for the movie. Maybe I can teach people how to drive. So he, in the hospital, on a little calendar pad, wrote down Bondurant School of High Performance Driving. And Valentine's Day, 1968, opened up the school. And the first students of the school were Paul Newman and James Garner. And the rest is kind of history now. We just, as you mentioned, we celebrated our 45th anniversary just this past year. Our past Valentine's Day,
And let's be real clear, the type of programs and the breadth that you folks offer now aren't just for people that want to become professional race car drivers or even semi-professionals or wannabes, but they're also a wonderful series of programs to just make driving on the street that much safer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the school is Bonnerout School of High Performance Driving, but the high performance part is just a very small piece of what we do. You know, to be honest, it's defensive driving. You know, we do teenage defensive driving, highway, you know, survival, executive protection. We do a lot of military training. You know, you name it, we do it. Really, it's a defensive, you know, one of our best programs is a teen course, you know. So if you listeners out there have teens or you're going to have teens getting their license, send them to a real driving school, to Bondurant, and learn how to drive properly. We can save their lives, literally.
Yes, in fact, I think my daughter's listening today, and she's about to get her learner's permit, and I'm sure she's putting on her wish list now. Mom, I want to go too. And, you know, you're absolutely right. I, of course, had the pleasure of going to your school as well as a couple others that are in the same competitive space over the years just to make me a better engineering assessor and development vehicle driver. So it tunes me up. And as well, back to your whole point about supercarting and about karting, that it's this man-machine interface, and how oftentimes we get comfortable driving our vehicles, and then sadly today, of course, we're also texting and phone calling all the time and literally have lost touch with what a powerful machine and responsibility hold in driving.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even inside the cars, you know, a lot of cars have navigation and stuff, and all that does is take your attention away, you know, from what you're supposed to be doing with paying attention and driving, right?
Yeah.
And so they're all distractions, you know, and it takes the average person 3/4 of a second to a second to react to a situation. Well, if you're on your phone, double that time.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's amazing when you think about really what, you know, the risks out there in driving. You know, you really need to pay attention. And if you're on your phone and doing other things, you can't really pay attention.
Well, one of the other exciting things, and this kind of ties back into the message of our show, obviously the great story about your career, Alan, that you've had the opportunity to be with Bondurant as long as you've had, Ben, but also this idea that you're also offer team sessions so that groups of individuals can come together, and you've structured a leadership development or team building experience. What would a typical day look like for a group of people that would want to come and share this experience with all of you?
Yeah, we have a variety of programs for that, but, you know, ranging from a group size of 10 to 400 or 500. We've done a 500-person group. And, and you know, in that case, you just come and you kind of get to experience driving a little bit of what we do. But for a great team-building event, we have this karting event that we call a pro car. Our go-karts are called pro karts. We call it Pro Kart Enduro. And we put together little teams. Say there's, you know, a 20-person group. We put together 4-person teams, and we would do a half-hour-long endurance race with driver changes and pit stops, kind of like a little mini Le Mans or a relay race. And, you know, at the end of that, the team with the most laps wins the race. You know, it's really good team building. And the companies, I mean, they come back year after year, and they get so much out of it because it pumps their team up.
I think also it's an accelerated way to watch group dynamics in action, too. Well, what do you mean you didn't have your shoe tied? Or what? Well, wait a minute about it. And, and so that it's a kind of a real-life example of what we do day in and day out as teams. We not appreciate it because you've kind of focused it under the microscope.
Yeah, for sure. And then some of the companies, we've had companies come out and build sort of like a, I don't know how to say it, like projects out of it. Like they'll go and they'll do a couple driving activities and they'll come back and they'll meet about it. What'd you learn? What'd you get out of it? You know, and then they'll go back and do a little bit more and then they'll come back and meet about it. It's pretty interesting.
So you've got, I suspect, having been involved with the organization so long, some really wonderful customer stories of individuals perhaps who've gone through a program and what kind of real eye-opening thing happened for them. Can you share a couple with us, Alan?
You know, we get letters all the time. Honestly, I don't know that I can think of one specifically right now, but we get letters all the time. Thank you. You saved my life because you know, something that we've taught. You know, we teach this thing called an accident avoidance simulator.
What's that?
And,
how does that work?
Well, it's a series of, so you accelerate up to a series of lights and two lanes go red, one stays green. You have to steer into the green lane, and we teach a specific method. We call it lift, turn, squeeze. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just a way of managing the car to get yourself out of trouble if something happens. You know, if a car pulls out in front of you or, you know, whatever, it's just a way of getting out of trouble and managing the car. And so we get letters from people all the time, hey, you know, thank you for saving my life there because of that exercise, that specific exercise, you know. I was able to avoid this accident. And so we get stories like that all the time.
And, of course, you know, and many times people feel that racing school is all about going fast. And you and I know that it's equally being very skilled at how you suddenly need to go slow, in other words, braking. So I can recall a lot of the exercises of you taking the big black tarmac out there and splashing a certain liquid on it and teaching people how to do evasive maneuvers
right.
when it's wet, right?
Right. Fortunately, we don't have to do that anymore with for the environment. We have these things called skid cars now, and that's probably our best tool we use. You know, it's a car rigged up with some outrigger dolly wheels, if you will, and it raises the back of the car up and makes the back end slide around. It's really good for, you know, learning how to control the car if you're having an oversteer or understeer situation.
And don't you remember, too, the times when we shifted from predominantly rear-wheel drive cars to front-wheel drive cars, that when you get at the limit, boy, those two types of cars, they behave dramatically different, don't they, Alan?
Yeah, they do, for sure. When they're at the limit, you know, in a front-wheel drive car, you'll definitely have more understeer and things like that. But the dynamic of managing the car in terms of weight transfer, it's really, you know, balancing the car with weight forward and back. That doesn't really change, you know, from a front-wheel drive to a rear-wheel drive car. All the concept is still the same on how you manage the car.
Isn't that true? We're speaking with Alan Rudolph. He's general manager at the Bondurant School of Racing. His particular expertise is in supercarts. And so, Alan, talk to us a little bit more about your own personal career, having stuck with karting and then gone up and done some of the bigger toys, I'll call it, but then also still staying rooted in the karting. Is that because it's kept you in better touch with your driving skills, or why do you think this has been the niche that you've so enjoyed and continued to excel in?
You know, that's a great question. Honestly, it's just a sport that's been passionate, you know, it's been a passion of mine, and it's faintly, you know, my family did. We did it growing up as a family, and it's a very family-oriented sport. You know, at the end of the day, it's kept me in touch with the karting thing, moving to, you know, Phoenix. I moved from Phoenix, or from St. Louis to Phoenix, just to work at Bondurant, to stay connected, you know, and as a racer, I've always wanted to move on and, you know, be whoever, Jeff Gordon or Jimmy Johnson or one of those guys. But the thing that most people don't understand about motorsports is it's very, very, very expensive.
Yeah.
And, you have to have a sponsor. You have to have fines, you know, someone to spend the money. You know, it's most people don't understand that parents will spend anywhere. Any of the drivers, race car drivers that you see that have made it in racing, most of them have had parents that would spend somewhere upwards of $5 to $7 million of their own money before they're now sponsored in racing in NASCAR or IndyCar or something.
Yeah.
It's just a very expensive sport. You know, racing in general is very, very expensive, and most people don't know that. And so, you know, of course, I always wanted to move on and race other things, but I've had the opportunity to drive a whole bunch, you know, different things over my career, and staying involved with karting, you know, helps me do some coaching. And
right.
So.
And also, if I recall, you have 3 young children, is that correct?
Not so young, but yes, I have 3 children.
3 children, not so young anymore, right? We can say that.
This month the girls are going to be 20 and 16,
right.
And little man, Aiden, is he's 7 and a half now.
And so, again, back to this prospect of family, the decisions you make to get involved with an organization, I know you travel a lot, of course, going to the races, but also develop a career that may be a little bit more friendly on the whole family support system of being based here in Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, my wife is a saint to put up with me going racing all the time and stuff. But, you know, it's just a part of who we are. And,
that's right.
And you know, it's been good for all of us. And, you know, so, you know, I'm out doing my deal racing, and she's home taking care of everything at home. So You got to have support from within or it just doesn't work.
Isn't that right? Well, you know, back to this whole thought about motorsports people, a lot of people don't realize that actually the total combined revenue of motorsports across the United States is significantly bigger than any of the other major sports. So some people might say, you know, professional football, baseball, et cetera, but really it's motorsports because there probably isn't a place in a state that there isn't something going on that's involving racing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. So give us your thoughts on Indianapolis. Of course, the big race is tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be some really good racing. These new cars, you know, they seem to draft real well, and I think they're going to be in packs like they were last year. I think last year's was a really good show. Yesterday, I don't know if anybody watched the Indy Lights race yesterday. I saw some highlights of it, and at the finish line, they were four mm-hmm. wide. And it was the closest finish in history. It was pretty amazing last lap. And I think you're going to see much in the same. Of course, I got some karting buddies, James Hinchcliffe and mm-hmm. AJ Allmendinger. And I'm hoping one of those guys win just selfishly because they're my buddies. But it'd be nice to, you know, Hinchcliffe has done really well so far this year. And he's up to speed. And AJ's doing really, really good now back with Penske. And so, hopefully one of those guys win. That'd be great.
Well, you heard it here on Circles of Change with Alan Rudolph. Alan, again, from the Bondurant School of Racing. You can learn more about what he does by going to Bondurant, Bondurant, supercarts.com. And whether that be for individual training opportunity experience, a group experience, or for our teens that are out here listening this morning, put that on your Christmas list or your upcoming birthday list to pass on to your parents. Alan, thank you so much for joining us today, and continue to be safe. Have fun out there at the track.
Great. Thanks, Doc.
My pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.